Clark being pressured from behind by Justin Smith. They've got him. Justin Smith sacks him inside the 10.
Hi, this is Justin Smith. You're listening to 49ers Radio, the official podcast of the San Francisco 49ers.
What's up, everybody? We're back with a new installment of 49ers Radio, and this one is a special edition. Scott Kegley is not here right now. He had to go to a meeting, but we wanted our podcast audience to enjoy the soothing sounds of Andrew Pentis going on year two with the 49ers. So, Andrew, welcome to the show. It's great to have you. Tell us, you know, what's going on in your world these days?
First of all, happy to be here. Thanks for having me on the show. So I've been working a lot on Levi's Stadium stuff, trying to support the 49ers digital team in that way. We're creating lots of good content on both 49ers.com and levisstadium.com. And I know we'll get to the ribbon cutting that's happening next week. But yeah, that's what's been on my plate. Happy to be here.
Just so fans know right now, we're sitting in my office and we're in the stadium itself. We've moved over to Levi's Stadium. We don't necessarily have the production group with us side by side like we were all of last season. We're still a tight-knit family. Rob Alberino overseeing the production side, Scott Kegley running the digital side here, and we branched out. We have our own offices right now. We don't necessarily have all the equipment at our disposal. Some guys are using some of the podcast recording equipment right now. So we are recording this on my iPhone, and it is neatly perked on my desk in a pen cup of some sort here. So if you could paint the picture, think of me and Andrew at my desk with the phone stuck in a cup of pens right now. And that's how we're rolling right now. Nothing but the best for the 49er faithful. But no, we want to talk training camp coming up. This is the reason of the show. Andrew and I have been covering the team all offseason, writing daily articles, keeping you guys in the loop of everything that's going on, and we're starving for some football. You know, we have these dry period of talking about LeBron James or talking about Jim Harbaugh at baseball games. We can get to that in a little bit, but training camp is right around the corner. I love training camp. It's just football on top of football on top of football. And Andrew, let's just give it a quick little overview on players that we want to see at training camp. You know, I'll let you just take that and run with it. Who do you want to see at training camp? Who's sort of piquing your interest right now?
I think Jimmy Ward has to be the guy for me. I know that they drafted him to help out at nickel corner. He obviously played safety at Northern Illinois. I'm just excited to see him because he's coming off a little bit of a minor injury. We had pictures of him on the site the other day of him in stride and running, so we know that he was running and sprinting around. I see him in the locker room, and he's all smiles. But you want to see him, you know, put pads on, wear the helmet, what he looks like in the uniform. And then seeing whether he can learn the defensive playbook really quickly. I know he's already been in meetings, but whether he can be on the field and learn that nickel position as well as backing up Antoine Bethea and Eric Reed at safety. So for me, he's really the guy. I don't know who stands out to you, Taylor.
Yeah, that's a great call. I mean, you think about draft day, your first-round pick. What kind of impact are you going to get from that first-round draft pick? Jimmy Ward, the Jimmy, as we like to talk about him from that Seinfeld episode. Jimmy Ward is an impressive player when you look at the college tape. He's a hitter. He's a thumper. And we haven't got a chance to see that because of, well, obviously he's not going to hit anybody in the offseason. But once they start putting the pads on and doing some 9-on-7 work or doing some preseason work in those games, what can Jimmy Ward bring to the table? And behind him, all those other cornerbacks that were drafted, three. You have Dante Johnson, Kenneth Acker, Keith Reeser. Reeser obviously not going to be ready, at two surgeries on his knee. But Acker, impressive player, got the physical attributes, the ball skills to be a competitor in year one. And same with Dante Johnson, really has the size and the speed and the intangibles. I mean, talk to some of his college coaches. A little teaser, we got this coming up. He is a smart player, and his secondary coach worked at Stanford for Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh wanted Dante Johnson out of high school to come to Stanford, and he stayed on the East Coast, just like Eric Reed stayed in the South. And Jim Harbaugh wanted Dante Johnson out of college, and he was a draft pick for the 49ers. So, you know, I like that cornerback position. That's what I really want to see. Tremaine Brock is been that number one corner for us this offseason. Was perfect attendance, was here early. And next to him, who's going to be that guy? What's Chris Culliver going to bring to the table? You know Cully in the house, as he likes to say. He is confident as they come. We'll match up against the Calvin Johnsons and the Jordy Nelsons from years past and really held his own. So plenty of options at cornerback. Going to be looking closely at how those guys go. Let's talk about other position groups to watch. Wide receiver, running back. An embarrassment of riches at both of those spots. And if injuries happen, the Niners are in position to field a talented backup to come in and be a starter right away. So, Andrew, which position group? It might be the running back, receiver. Tell me, which one are you really going to be watching closely when training camp starts?
You mentioned it. I think the wide receivers stick out the most to me. I remember last training camp, my first training camp with the team, I was sort of astounded at the options they had, and obviously there was a natural attrition, as to use a Jim Harbaugh word there. He sort of guessed that naturally the position group would sort itself out. We saw the trade of A.J. Jenkins. But really, if you compare last training camp to this training camp, there's even more options at wide receiver. And I know on the site this week, Taylor, I think you mentioned in your tenure here with the Niners, that maybe it's the most offensive weapons you've seen from a wide receiver and a running back standpoint. Is that the case? And I guess what's the disparity between this year's level of talent and past groups you've seen?
Well, yeah, I definitely think it is. And, you know, it really comes down to having 4-5 receivers who could realistically be on the field at the same time. And you look at the Saints with Drew Brees, and they basically play sort of fast break football. They spread it out wide. And if the Niners want to showcase that type of offense, they have the tools to do that right now. Have we seen them line up 4 or 5 wide receivers in offseason minicamps, OTAs? No, we haven't seen that. But it's an option. The thing that's held the 49ers back from doing that, one is personnel. Two is Frank Gore being a beast. Frank Gore can just carry the load and be the closer of sorts. He can finish games out for you and be a dominant trench running back. No, but this year's team, I mean, you look back at the Super Bowl team when they had Randy Moss as an option with Manningham and Crabtree and Ted Ginn and Kyle Williams. That was, you know, a playmaking group. They had some different, you know, speed and some agility there. And Crabtree really was a solid wideout with Kaepernick. And that's what you're hearing all this offseason is Michael Crabtree looks like old 2012, got that burst. You know, he's fully recovered from the Achilles injury. So you throw out that Crabtree connection with Kaepernick. Anquan Boldin has proven to be a reliable, solid player for this offense. Then you have Stevie Johnson, Brandon Lloyd, Quentin Patton, Bruce Ellington. Even Kasim Osgood has some value at wide receiver, definitely on special teams. So this wide receiver group, stacked, loaded, and you got to imagine that if the 49ers want to go 4 wide, they can, hey, Brandon Lloyd, you get in this slot. Stevie, you get in that slot. And have, you know, the perimeter skills of Boldin and Crabtree working the outside. Not to mention you have Vernon Davis working the middle of the field with that if they choose to do so. So really like to see this wide receiver group compete. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. There's so many other ones. Who's going to be the backup inside linebacker next to Patrick Willis? Taking over for Bowman, of course, going to be a starter, I should say. But, you know, nose tackles, Clint Dorsey, Ian Williams, will they renew their competition? Looks like Ian Williams has been hampered by the broken ankle that he suffered week 2 at Seattle last year. Didn't participate in the offseason workouts, you know, recovering and all that. But so much to get into, and we're going to be writing and talking about every single day on 49ers.com. Training camp starts first practice July 24th. First padded practice, July 26th. So much action. You got 90 players. There's going to be a lot to cover. So we've been craving this football talk. You know, I know we're working hard on the Levi's Stadium stuff, some of the off-season content that we're putting out there, and I just want to pose this to you, Andrew. What has been your favorite non-football July headline? Because we're sort of in this dry period of no football news. You know, you have mini camps, the players go away, it's vacation time, Jim Harbaugh goes to Peru, goes to some baseball games. What's been your favorite 49ers non-football headline of July?
Well, you mentioned the baseball, and I know we were doing quite a bit of 49ers baseball coverage on the site this week. I was noticing the news this morning of LeBron James deciding to return to Cleveland and play with the Cavaliers, and I was noticing a lot of the players that we follow were tweeting about that, but then they were also tweeting, okay, attention can go back to baseball for the next, what, 2-3 weeks until we get going here in Santa Clara. So I think that's been a fun part of it this week is Jim Harbaugh going to Arizona and Oakland and San Francisco. He's obviously buddies with Tony La Russa. So I guess seeing that connection, and then I enjoyed your Niners 365 blog post where we sort of picked a 49ers player for each baseball position. Kaepernick was obviously a sure bet to start on the mound, and you can explain that more.
Yeah, Kaepernick, drafted by the Chicago Cubs, throwing the 87-mile-an-hour fastball as a Giants pitcher, as a Giants first-pitch pitcher, wearing Jordan sneakers at that, too. So you know Kaepernick has the heater. That was fun to do, just sort of find the comparisons or the sort of the humor in how football might translate to baseball. You have Crabtree as a center fielder, Justin Smith as your first baseman, sort of that big bopper in the middle of the lineup. And you guys could tell, I read in the comment section. Don't think that we don't read the comments on our articles. You know, hey, you guys are creative, but you can tell you're definitely missing football. And that's the truth. I mean, we live to cover the 49ers. That's why we're here. We love football. We love covering the team for you guys. And when the players aren't on the field practicing, it really creates a need to stretch your creative ideas and how you want to cover the team. And one thing we did, which I thought was a little fun, we had a little nice little banter in the office, was 22 signs you miss football. Because I know if you're like us and you love football, you're sort of coming up with things to fill the need, to fill the void on Sundays. You know, having a Game of Thrones tailgate party was one joke we came up with, or you know, wearing a 49ers outfit to a job interview, whatever it might be. So We promise you there's not going to be too much of that coming up anymore, because there's a big event coming up next Thursday. We're recording this on a Friday, just for the fans who like to know all the details, so you can enjoy this podcast over the weekend. Going into Thursday, we're going to be cutting some ribbons across the street at Levi's Stadium. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, I know you are our beat writer for Levi's Stadium. You know this thing like the back of your hand. When we come back from lunch, you're sort of the tour guide, dropping knowledge on me all the time when we're going to check out different parts of the stadium. And that's the cool thing about having the office over here. Now we can just find places in the stadium where we want to go check out something new for the first time. So you are all things Levi's Stadium. You know this thing like the back of your hand. And tell our fans, just give them a little taste of what they can expect next week on 49ers.com as well as levisstadium.com.
Absolutely. The way Taylor started our podcast today, he mentioned we're at his desk in his office. What we didn't mention is we're mere feet from the field. We're inside Levi's Stadium. And as he said, next Thursday is the ribbon cutting. It won't be, unfortunately, open to fans. Would love if everyone could come, but it won't be open to the public. We're going to welcome some media and some sponsors to the event. But you'll be able to follow it on 49ers.com, on levisstadium.com, because we'll be live streaming it. So we'll see you on that. And then personally, here in the digital offices, we're working to get you ready for that event. We're working on what we call a long read. I don't know if you've checked out the long read section of 49ers.com, which our digital media strategist, Eric Stark, sort of spearheads for us. But we're working on a long read story about how the stadium came to be. So look for that the middle of next week. Hopefully that gets you prepped for ribbon cutting. And Taylor's also been speaking with some of the top figureheads, if you will, of the organization. Some content we'll have early next week to get you ready for that. But obviously, as we're saying, we can't wait for Thursday to open the stadium. But really, the big event will be 2-3 weeks down the line where we start having preseason games and then eventually regular season games at the 49ers' new home.
Well said, Andrew. We can't wait for this thing. I mean, we've been plotting, sort of building to this point, and the fact that we're sitting in the stadium, this is where we work now, this is where we come to play, this is our home, or it's our new home. We're very excited about all these things, and talking to some of the figureheads, like you mentioned, they're pleased and they're fired up. They've been getting their hands dirty, rolling up their sleeves, doing everything in their power to make this vision a reality for the 49er faithful. They want to deliver the ultimate fan experience, and with that, we want to win some football games. This stadium is going to help our team be more competitive, and there's tons of ways and avenues that this state-of-the-art experience is going to help this team win games. And so look for some of this content next week on the site. I know you guys will be checking it out, because if you miss football, like I said in that earlier article, you'll read anything that has 49ers in the headline. And that might even include a Niner Talk episode. I don't know if you see the show that I host where I banter back and forth with some fans on Twitter. We got some good stuff coming up, a training camp preview in that show that's being chopped up and edited as we speak. So lots of good stuff to cover right now with the team. One thing that was a non-July headline that we talked about was World Cup. And if you're a 49er fan, you're probably checking the World Cup because you're patriotic, you're into sports. So Sunday, we have Germany, we have Argentina going at it for the World Cup. I don't know the name of the trophy. I don't think it even matters. It's a gold sort of NBA Finals looking trophy. But Andrew, I know you've been wearing the Italian jersey around the office. Mm-hmm. I know you're with the Azzurri. So is that what they're called?
Yep.
So I'm a little cultured. Give us your prediction. Are we going to penalty kicks? Are we settling this thing out in the 90 minutes that are allotted?
Yeah, I will admit first off that I'm not the preeminent expert in international soccer, but I will say, based solely on Germany's thrashing of Brazil, that I would expect this one to be over by halftime. I think Germany's going to take this home. I don't think it'll be close. I would prefer it to be close as a fan. That would make it more interesting to casual fans such as myself, but I think this is the year for Germany, unfortunately, as a Italian/American fan. I think they're taking it home.
Short and sweet, right to the point. Germany. No, you don't want to name drop any soccer players. You don't want to throw it over our fans' heads. I appreciate that. Well, I will say that Argentina will get the victory, just because I want to see Lionel Messi, however you say it. I want to see him get recognized for his brilliance as a soccer player, and I think that's maybe a soccer term they say. I'm not sure. But no, Messi has got major skills, dribbles around people, can score from anywhere. If he's able to get a goal, get the game-winning goal, he's going to be in a soccer icon, and hopefully one day you can see him playing for the San Jose Earthquakes at Levi Stadium. That would just be the best of all worlds possible. So let's just wrap it up with that ridiculous thought right there. Argentina on this side, Andrew's got Germany. You know, we might take a peek at that game, but once next week starts, it's all Levi's Stadium all the time on our website, 49ers.com. And if you enjoy this podcast, which I hope you do, it's being recorded on an iPhone, like we said. Check us out on iTunes. Make sure you download 49ers Radio on iTunes. And we'll be seeing you guys very soon. Thank you.
Thanks.